I wouldn't mind you if you would, though.
I know it's horrible because it's breakfast time.
Yeah, yet another early start.
Hi.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you please take your seats, our board members are arriving on the table, and we'll be able to start our public forum in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to take the pleasure to announce the chief scientist of the China Internet Network Information Center, Dr. Mao.
Gentlemen, I'm Mao Wei, the chief scientist of CNIC. On behalf of the local host of 46 ICANN Beijing meeting, CNIC, CONNEC, and the Internet Society of China, I would like to express our congratulations on the success of the ICANN Toronto meeting. We would also like to extend our warmest welcome to our distinguished guests who will attend the Beijing meeting in April 2013. CNIC just enjoyed its 15th birthday in July. In the past 15 years, we dedicate ourselves performing our duty as a state network information center, and also witness the solid development of China's internet industry. The 2002 ICANN meeting in Shanghai made a great contribution to the industry. We also believe the next ICANN meeting in Beijing will bring us opportunity, platform, and results to help all of us achieve a better ICANN community. Today, with the purpose of extending Beijing's welcome and its best wishes to our guests, a video has been specially prepared by our three of ministry level officials. They are Professor Tan Tianyu from the Chinese Academy of Sciences, the higher authority of CNIC, Mr. Wang Feng from the State Commission Office for Public Sector Reform, the higher authority of CONNEC, and Madam Hu Qiheng from the Internet Society of China. Then I would like to apologize for missing this meeting and choose this special way coordinate to welcome all of you to Beijing. Finally, I want to speak a few words in Chinese.
I'm very happy and honored that I am given the opportunity to listen to Chinese simultaneous interpretation at the ICANN meeting. This is actually the first time. This is the great news that the new CEO that has brought to us. Beijing is the capital of China, which has a long history and also a splendid one. In April, it's actually the best season of Beijing. So I'm confident that when you come to Beijing, you will find the trip worthwhile, and I wish you a good stay in Beijing. Thank you.
ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry I can't be with you in Toronto at the 45th ICANN meeting. Nevertheless, I do want to take the opportunity to welcome you to Beijing next year on behalf of the Chinese Academy of Sciences and the China Internet Information Network Center, or CINIC, as one of the hosts of next year's ICANN meeting. The Chinese Academy of Sciences was established in November 1949. It is the most comprehensive research organization in China. It is also the birthplace or the cradle of the internet in China. We have also enjoyed very much, very productive collaboration with ICANN over the years. As a very old Chinese saying goes, isn't it a pleasure to have friends coming from afar? Beijing, as you know, is the capital city of China, a city with a profound history and culture. I'm sure you'll find Beijing to be an exciting place for having an ICANN meeting. So once again, on behalf of the Chinese Academy of Sciences and my colleague at the CINIC, I wish to extend a warm welcome to all of you and hope to see you all in Beijing. Once again, welcome you to Beijing. Thank you.
大家好。首先我
Hello, on behalf of the central government of China, I would like to congratulate on the 45th ICANN meeting on its successful completion, and also to the China Canadian government and also Internet Authority, I would like to thank you for your careful arrangement for this meeting. Many years, the Internet Society of China has participated in all kinds of ICANN activities. Our organization fully supports the TLD project in ICANN. We've participated in policy development and have applied to .gov such domain names. The next meeting will be held in Beijing in April next year. CONEC, together with the CINIC organization of China and also the Internet Society of China, will together host this event of next year. ICANN and the Internet Society have had a lot of collaborations, and this is a further event to deepen this collaboration. And finally, we look forward to your coming to China. We warmly welcome you. Thank you.
Internet Society of China, my name is Hu Qiheng. First of all, I would like to express the warm welcome to you to the 46th ICANN meeting, which will be held in Beijing, China, next year, April. The Internet Society of China is one of the three hosts for this meeting. We recall to the 10 years ago, 2002, when the ICANN meeting was held firstly in China, in Shanghai. And during the past decade, we all witnessed the significance that this meeting brought to China. The second time ICANN meeting in China will brought new driving force to the new decade for China's internet development. Beijing is a city joining the traditional culture and the modern technology. And April is the best season in Beijing, a very dry and pleasant weather. And I hope the full success of this ICANN meeting. Welcome to Beijing.
I was tired before. I'm ready to go again. Good. We continue with the public forum. The next topic is new GTLDs. Let me suggest that any comments or questions about specific GTLDs, and we have a rather extensive process. This isn't the optimum place for pursuing cases pro or con, actually. So with that, let me ask that people come to the microphone. Yep.
While people are lining up, I'll just use this opportunity to thank the team from China that came here to present this excellent, enticing video. Thank you for that. Thanks for the officials who spoke. We appreciate that. I just want to tell you that looking at this video and just getting warm and ready for China, I hope that Sally will somehow manage far less meetings so we can go out and not just see China and Beijing, but more importantly for us to meet the people, the users, the local people. You know, we all travel all the way to Beijing or to Toronto or to any city. We should take time to meet the local internet users, the local community that we ultimately serve. So I hope that as we make this long trip, we use it as a trip to engage with the great people of China, the hundreds of millions of people who use the internet. It's a remarkable opportunity for us, and I really look forward to making this a great milestone in our future and our relationship with the great people of China. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Fadi. And let me add my thanks to the for the presentation, for the effort, and the clear invitation and great hospitality that I know we'll see there. Take it away, Steve.
Thank you. Steve Del Bianco with a question from the business constituency. But I'll first echo what Fadi just said, because you said it's a new season in ICANN. We spend so much time indoors, I don't have any idea what season we're even in. So, good idea. So, the business constituency, let me get to the question now. The business constituency was an advocate of finding a way to create exceptions in the new GTLD registry contracts so that dot brands would have reasonable basis to use just one registrar, perhaps even their own, or that they'd be allowed to register their own names and control them. And we were glad to see that that showed up in a code of conduct exemption that's in the guidebook. And dot brands, in fact, will probably avail themselves of that. But we were quite surprised, maybe naive, when we learned that there were hundreds of applications for generic keywords, not brands, but keywords. And the applications came from companies who want to use it in a closed way, and some of those companies even have, let's say, a market presence. They're a single competitor in those generic keywords. So we expect those folks to apply for the exemption, and the board of ICANN will be in a position then to determine whether to grant the exemption. The way it reads now is that, is the code of conduct needed to protect the public interest? Question for you is that who and how will we determine whether exempting an applicant from the code of conduct is in the public interest. And the BC and I have for many years advocated a real simple, limited definition for public interest to make that decision easier. And if you recall, that was that public interest for ICANN is the availability and integrity of registrations and resolutions. So it is in a time we let the community settle on a definition so we can start to evaluate these exemption requests. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi there.
Hi. I'm Kathy Kleiman. I'm a longtime ICANN participant and a member of numerous of the new GTLD guidebook drafting teams. And I like Steve, but I never agree with him. This time I do. I'm speaking to you about a growing concern of mine and many others in the new GTLD process, and it is the closed generics, the many applications which seek to close off generic words by a single registry through a single registrar to a single registrant. That wasn't my understanding of the rules we created. The rules we created created a level playing field, registries working through registrars to reach registrants. Choice and competition were a clear priority in the new GTLD system. And I have to add that I was here in 1999 when we introduced registrars, and now watching registrations, domain name registrations, marketed across the world in different languages, different currencies, different customs is wonderful. We did that. So my letter to you of September 14th points out the many sections of the new GTLD guidebook that require non-discrimination, choice, and competition, with very narrow exceptions, as Steve addressed. So here's my question to you. How did a narrow exception get so widely expanded? And could you please issue an advisory that the registry code of conduct is committed to competition and choice, that Section 6 is a very narrow exception, and it is, as Steve said, intended for brands and their brand names? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kathy.
Chuck Gomes from VeriSign. And you may not be able to answer the questions that I'm going to ask now, and that's okay as long as the answer is forthcoming fairly soon for the sake of the community. And the questions are these. With regard to clarifying questions that were discussed in the new GTLD session, will the timing of those questions and the response period be scheduled in realization that we have a holiday season coming up? Secondly, will the length of response time be lengthened to allow adequate time for complete responses? Those questions are in part for applicants that we're supporting as a back-end registry operator for some of our partners who couldn't be here today. Some of them shut down over the holidays. Happens every year. So that's a very important thing to keep in mind. I suspect that happens for other people, other organizations. With regard to VeriSign as a back-end registry services provider, and we're supporting over 200 applicants in that role, and any clarifying technical questions, we're going to have to help our partners be responsive, and we're a little concerned that 2 weeks might not be enough to do that by the time they communicate with us and so forth. So again, I don't have to have the answer right now, but those are questions that I think would be very helpful if responses are provided for quickly. Thanks.
Thank you, Chuck. Noted. I'm watching the clock, and even though we have quite a bit of time in front of us, we also have quite a bit of work. So the queue is now closed, and we continue.
Hi, my name is Josh Leslie. I'm just here as a member of the general public. First, I just briefly want to express my gratitude for the accessibility of this ICANN meeting. No barriers to participation, perhaps some barriers to, sorry, no barriers to entry, perhaps some barriers to participation, but that's okay. And my thanks to CIRA for their help in organizing and publicizing, or else I might not have known about it. Brief prolegomenon. And then I'll ask my question. So I don't think I'm representing anybody, maybe my grandmother. I'll leave it to you guys to determine who I represent. I've been an internet user, avid internet user, for about 20 years now, and I can say, kind of in hindsight, I've not once typed in any of the new GTLDs since ICANN has come into existence. As an average Canadian internet user, I go to .ca, then .com, sometimes .org, and then ccTLDs generally to get information, and I don't think that's atypical for Canadian internet user. I want to hypothesize that ICANN is supposed to act as a steward of the public interest. I'd say that public interest has been maybe confounded with commercial interest on this issue, and that if the new GTLD program goes ahead, it's going to lead to complete ambiguation of what different extensions mean. And if that's the intent, that's fine, but my question is, for my grandmother or my neighbor or siblings or me, what value does the new GTLD program add accepting any reference to commercial interests or economic considerations? And if anybody on the board or ICANN staff could answer that, I'd be appreciative.
Thank you. So I appreciate the question, but I have to say, unfortunately, the question's been asked many, many times already, and there's a thick stack of dialogue on the subject, recommend a small amount of search will yield all the back and forth on that. Thank you. Yes, please.
My name is Raphael Lobim from EXAP, applicant for .med. This week, many of the community TLD applicants met to share information and concerns and work constructively with each other to make sure that our communities have a voice in the new TLD process. Community are the right balance in the new TLD process between people and commercial interests. We want to ask ICANN to see, support, and encourage our work to create community-based domain spaces. We represent a number of associations, number of people, type of work being done, from the global environmental movement to regulating industries to diversity groups. We represent the rainbow of public interest-based participation on opportunity that underlies ICANN's decision to open up the domain space. Our communities demonstrate the core ICANN values, the public and the community values of new TTLSD: reliability through community engagement, competition and choice, public interest, participation, trust, and opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have some people waiting for remote participation. Let me turn to you, Phyllis.
Thank you, Steve. Phyllis Yilmaz, reading a comment, question, rather a question, on behalf of Sami Aboudi, Arabic business owner. Thank you for the opportunity to remotely participate. How is ICANN planning to ensure there is no user confusion and that it protects registrants' rights in regards to the IDN equivalents of existing GTLDs? For example, ChineseIDN.ASCII.org. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we're sort of seeing if there's a useful thing to say at this point in regard to that. This is, in essence, a fundamental kind of question that has been built in to the applicant guidebook structure and to the whole GTLD process. Thank you. Let me take a second one.
Phyllis Yilmaz, reading a comment on behalf of Pierre Germo, Sport Accord, International Sport Federations. The timeline of objection process is biased against communities. A number of GTLD applications target certain sport federations or sport community as a whole. Examples include .rugby, .ski, .sport, singular, and .sports, plural. Affected sport federations, Sport Accord, and the International Olympic Committee oppose some of them because they lack community accountability and appropriate governance. Other communities face similar challenges. While ICANN has announced an objection process, details have only been clarified recently, in part as late as yesterday. It turns out that objections will only be submitted to panels in May 2013, and that community priority evaluation will only take place no further objections can be filed. This means that affected communities have no choice but to either file objections against each applicant at a high cost or incur substantial risks. This level playing field is tilted in favor of non-community applicants. In order to minimize litigation, we request that ICANN allow community objections to be filed at least until 2 weeks after the determination of community priority. In that way, preemptive objections can be avoided. We also submit that both community priority panels and objections panels should proceed immediately rather than wait for the end of the objection period. In that way, a first objection proceeding can be a case for other panels, applicants, and objectors to learn from. Thank you.
Thank you for the suggestion. I think we'll take it under advisement. Wolfgang?
Hi, I'm Scott Seitz from .gay LLC, but today speaking in behalf of the community TLDs that met this week. We represent 30 applications, and our organization count tens of millions in areas from sports to banking, gay rights, and other diverse global profit and nonprofit communities and groups. And the context here is really avoiding process delays for our communities who have been outreaching to our people for a long time and their expectations and timing expectations coming up. Community applications are often the ones responsible, because of that, for educating the public about the new TLD program specifically. And we are putting forward major global public interest issues like universality and human rights, national regulations, trust and protection, sports values, environmental responsibility, consumer protection, and often intellectual property of our constituents. We believe that as communities, we often represent the ideal of the ICANN TLD program and are the critical balance to strict commercial interests. However, we are concerned that some unintended consequences of the new TDLB process, evaluation process will disadvantage us as community TLDs versus business TLDs and cause extra delays in our application to our and our constituency. Specifically regarding contracts, we want to thank actually Kurt for announcing that community agreements will be handled as expeditiously as standard agreements and not subject to additional delay, but we would ask to see that formally presented as soon as possible. In regard to contention sets, community applications with contention sets still face a number of delays and difficulties. We would be happy to work with the staff of ICANN to come up with solutions. We're asking for a dialogue. Thank you.
Thank you. Perhaps it's useful for me to reemphasize that questions are strongly preferred, comments are acceptable, and statements are not desired in this. It's not the most useful use of the time. Let's proceed. Thank you.
Hi, it's Jacob Malthouse with BigRoom.eco. Also speaking on behalf of the group of community TLDs that met this week. We want to thank staff for the information provided to applicants so far and propose the community work with evaluators to identify and address areas where we can improve the efficiency of the process overall. So we have two questions. First question, would the board and ICANN be interested to consider the potential of a pilot evaluation of a non-contested community application? We know there are several members of our group that have volunteered to have their application serve as a test. A pilot of this test could help add a deal of certainty and predictability to the community priority evaluation process. So we'd be interested to discuss that. And secondly, we'd be interested to see if the board would be interested to think about a community clarifying questions pilot, as is occurring with the initial evaluations, to help refine how that process would work. And we'd be interested to work with the board and staff on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Interesting.
Hi, my name is Jim Prendergast with the Galway Strategy Group. I'll start off with just, I was not able to attend the GTLD acceptance session earlier this week because of a conflict. I would just ask that as part of the communications program to encourage new GTLD acceptance that we look outside these walls, we look outside the ICANN conference, and we go out to the developer communities, we go out to other forum to get the message out to the people who are building software, building browsers, and building systems that will hopefully take advantage. of new GTLDs. Secondly, I will try and phrase my my pleading in the form of a question, and it relies on the clarifying questions. Somebody already mentioned that 2 weeks really is not enough time. In that same period, you have potential GAC early warnings. You have the drawing in Los Angeles. You have the reliance on third parties to get you answers. And then finally, for non-native English speakers, translation from English to their language, developing answers, and then back into their language, and then submitting them is really a challenge in that time frame. So will the board consider extending the two-week period so that people can get this right?
Thank you. I think the answer to the question as phrased, will the board consider, is yes.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Philip Corwin, speaking in my capacity as counsel with the Internet Commerce Association. I want to start by commending the board and Chairman Crocker for in the discussion earlier today, noting that the suggestions that have come from some constituencies for changes in the rights protections, that you're looking toward evidence of broader support from the GNSO prior to consideration of them. We think that's proper, particularly since some of those suggestions look like going beyond mere implementation to policy changes. I just wanted to bring to your attention that last week, we published a list of 12 principles that will guide our association's review of any proposals for changes in the RPMs. They were published at our website, internetcommerce.org, as well as at circleid.com. I'm certainly not going to read the entire list, but did want to mention just a few of them. The first and most important is that domains constitute a bundle of valuable intangible rights similar to trademarks and other IP rights, and that reasonable balance must be achieved between trademark owners and domain registrants. Another is that the RPMs, whatever they are, should enforce and protect certainly existing trademark rights, but not expand rights and or create new rights, and we commend the new CEO for stressing that point in a letter he sent last month to congressional leaders in regard to the suggestion for adding marks plus generic terms to the Trademark Clearinghouse database. We think suggestions for changes premised on cost savings must actually save costs and then await market testing of the model. And finally, it's very important that the U.S. URS providers be placed under contract to assure uniformity. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, here I am again. Amadeo Abril, speaking on behalf of CORE. And I would like proposing some refinements or so changes, so corrective methods to balance the side effects, side unintended and undesirable effects of some, you know, pure random process, the draw. You have already applied one, which is the priority for IDNs. We completely support that. As we support priority for not just GeoTLDs because the string is a geographic name, but those TLDs that have been applied for or with the support of a public authority that has made a judgment of the public interest in that area, which is something we need to take as granted. I mean, if they decide that, we have long decided that internal public interest, you know, a public interest, yes, belongs to the interpretation of the local authorities and communities, not to ICANN to decide for the local public interest. So, we support that. We support also that for communities and for the applicants from less favored and completely, you know, desertic areas in terms of TLD infrastructure. But beyond that, I mean, we have all this together. We have something like 250 TLDs, 10 weeks of application, nearly 3 months, okay? Probably less than that if we take out contention, etc. The problem is that these people have a right not to be deprioritized, but perhaps not completely. It's not that they have a natural right to be the first in the world above everything else. This could lead to, you know, other parts of the application feeling disadvantaged. So one first suggestion is, why don't we have a double track, prioritized and, you know, non-prioritized, all the rest, and we have a round robin, one each, I mean, it doesn't harm anybody. Those prioritization, I am sure that they will not be on the last wagon, but all the rest will not feel disadvantaged because of the existence of that. And you don't need to make any judgment on who's, you know, have a special rights beyond that. I mean, it simply works. The other thing is regarding the non-prioritized ones.
Thank you.
Nice. I have three more proposals. It will come next year, probably for the next round.
Send email.
Hello, Fred Krueger, Minds and Machines. We're a portfolio applicant for a number of new TLDs. I want to address the issue of private auctions. As you know, there are a lot of collisions, hundreds of collisions. In certain cases, there are 10 or 12 applicants for a single string. ICANN has thought a lot about these auctions. You have a solution. Can we possibly use that same group, that same solution, for private auctions as well? Only if everybody agrees that the parties in a private auction should be able to use the ICANN process and have the money be returned to the participants in equal amounts. I suggest that it would be very, very little work. It would help us out. I've had over 12 to 15 meetings already in this conference, and I'm not alone. I'm not the largest portfolio applicant. A lot of single applicants also would like to have an ICANN process, the same process that is used as a mechanism of last resort. They would like to have an alternative to use that same process for private auctions. I think it would be a great help. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Hello again. I'm still Robin Gross of the Non-Commercial Stakeholders Group.
And I'm Olivier Crépin-Aplon, Chair of the ALAC. We have a joint ALAC-NCSG statement on the URS. Because we're two people, can we have 4 minutes?
All right, we will read the statement quickly. We would like to call the community's attention to the current status of the Uniform Rapid Suspension System, or URS, as a method to protect brand owners and internet users against clear and obvious instances of domain abuse. The URS was a carefully crafted community-wide consensus. It involved many ICANN constituencies and hard-won compromises that we could both support and defend. Recently, attempts have been made to reopen URS policy because of cost-related pushback from ICANN's first and only choices of service providers so far. Our communities are concerned that important protections to both users and brand owners could be negatively impacted in the name of cost-cutting. We ask ICANN to make every effort necessary to seek providers capable of implementing the URS as it now exists and demand it make no substantive changes to the URS without the same level of cross-community support that led to the current consensus. And I'll just add, this was approved by the Non-Commercial Stakeholder Group Policy Committee.
And this was ratified by the ALAC this morning with 12 votes for, zero votes against, and zero abstentions.
Thank you. Noted.
And, of course, we'll be forwarding this through the usual channels in writing as well.
Thank you. Next.
Hi, my name is Konstantin Roussos, and I'm from Dot Music. I was very pleased to hear the new CEO of ICANN, Fadi, say it's time to do the right thing. I would want to express some of my concerns, and these were reiterated at the GAC meetings in association to sensitive strings. And my question to ICANN in regards to these sensitive strings is, how will ICANN protect the public interest and preventing the lack of governance and the proliferation of the monopolization of these sensitive strings by single commercial entities that do not act in the best interests of these communities? For example, the health sector, e.g. .med, what if a single commercial entity wins .med in an auction and any health-related information there won't be trusted? .bank, what if the non-banking sector, a single commercial entity runs .bank, will users trust that? Thirdly, in regards to the copyright sector, how will these interests of IP be protected? There's a lot of fears surrounding these sensitive strings, and we believe that ICANN should look at serving the public interest in regards to putting the governance structure that's required for these sensitive strings and to prevent the monopoly of by single commercial entities. For example, single registrants that would exclude the registration of domain names from legitimate members of that appropriate community. And also to look into enhanced safeguards for some of these sensitive strings. For example, in our example, .music, to prevent piracy. Since we're in Canada, I would like to give the example of Justin Bieber. If you go to Google and you search Justin Bieber MP3, 10 out of the 10 results are pirated results. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I was serious when we closed the line before, and we're going to provide a little bit of assistance for interpretation of that. Thank you. Go ahead.
Michaela Nayland, Black Knight Registrar, from Black Knight Registrar in Ireland. Not speaking in my personal capacity. After a rather odd experience of this meeting, to actually find myself agreeing very strongly with people with which I normally do not agree, this afternoon is a prime example. The day has come when I find myself agreeing strongly with Steve Del Bianco. I'm in a state of shock. Steve Del Bianco speaks much more eloquently than I, so I mean, I would just refer back to what he said and say, yes, I'm fully supportive of what he said with respect to closed generics, which is the subject I came up to speak of the mic on. Kathy Kleiman also spoke on this earlier, and I would just remind the board, if they have not read the letter, that 16 of us sent to them on this subject. The letter dated 24th of September. The key thing here is that the new TLD project was set up in such a fashion, or so we were told, in order to improve and increase competition in at the top-level domain, where across top-level domains, that consumers, businesses would have choices. They would be able to choose to set up a business under a .chu if they wanted to, that a big brand owner could have a .bmw. However, we have found ourselves in the situation now where several of the very big brands who have asked and actually demanded a large amount of protection in new TLDs are now in some ways perverting the entire process by applying for generic keywords for which they do not have unique rights and in order to run those as closed TLDs. And I would hope that the board would consider these as being an issue that needs to be addressed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Paul Foody, speaking on my own behalf. I'm interested in this report that the Security and Stability Advisory Committee produced on dotless domains. Now, ignoring the fact that .com registrants have been benefiting from dotless domains for the past 16 years, to my knowledge, and the fact that it is embarrassing that ICANN's collective intelligence didn't foresee the problem before it went out seeking applications for new top-level domains. We have the problem that for every generic term for which a new TLD is issued, there is no rights. Nobody has any commercial right, any property right over any word in the English language. I mean, that is enshrined in law, so far as I understand. So given that, every TLD that you grant that is a word in any language, you are giving every browser operator, every device, whether it be an Apple cell phone or whether or not it's a Nokia cell phone or if it's a Safari browser, you are giving them the right to interpret that domain and send or that word in whatever fashion they want. And so by doing that, You guys run the risk of completely decimating the internet by separating it up into an internet that depends on the device that you're using, the browser that you're using, and all the rest of it. I've talked about this till I've been blue in the face. This program needs to be thrown out. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Werner Staub. I work for CORE. Bertrand mentioned the word subsidiarity today, and I was really happy to hear that. This is the first time, actually. And yesterday, or before, we heard Fadi talk about the objective of an ICANN that performs. Now, I don't believe that it is possible to achieve an ICANN that performs without applying the principle of subsidiarity. And essentially, in many ways, the objective is to avoid that any, you know, if possible, a problem falls into ICANN's lap. Ideally, it would be handled before. Now, subsidiarity is about handling the problems at the appropriate level. And that is what communities are. That is what local government public authorities are. They handle the stuff on the appropriate level, and they have already their accountability and governance mechanisms. This is why I believe it is in ICANN's interest, not ICANN as an organization, in the cause of ICANN's interest, to give priority to those GTLD applications that already have credible accountability and governance mechanisms. It is also those that will cause less problems, and it's those that will lead the way for the others to be inspired with. It is, however, not those applications, which I just mentioned before, where a private company monopolizes a keyword and actually causes competition to be biased. For instance, if Google controls .docs and only Google applications can run .docs, the public doesn't know that this is Google. They just think documents are documents. If Amazon controls .pay, the public doesn't think pay is Amazon. Anybody pays. It doesn't have to be Amazon. It's going to be deceived if such a string isn't the hold of one competitor who can use it against the others. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello. I'm Jordan Buchanan with Google. I'll start off by noting...